Scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the nature of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us up with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as I was, getting ready for today and, in honor of Brett and his Hawaiian shirt Sunday, had a tune kind of going through my head. It may sound a little bit familiar. It goes like this. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale. Tale of a fateful ship. And so although originally Gilligan's Island aired from 1964 to 1967, which was before I was born, I did catch it on reruns. And, I'd watch them after I got home from school and watch them on Saturday mornings. And so if you remember anything about Gilligan's Island, the SS Minnow set sail for a three-hour tour out of Honolulu. And so Hawaiian shirts seem very appropriate for the day. But, something that bothers me about Gilligan's Island is that they taught an experience that wasn't very real. For example, I have never once encountered headhunters or quicksand or getting hit on the head by a coconut. Right? None of those things have ever, ever happened in my life. They happened all the time on Gilligan's Island. But, one theme that occurred on the show that runs true today is the treasure map. We know that X marks the spot. X is where you find the treasure. X is where you want to be. Now, we come across treasure maps or maps all the time. For our graduate here today, he was told that in order to graduate, he needed to accomplish so much. He had to take these types of classes. And in this order to achieve his degree, his graduation. You were given a map, an X marked graduation. Now, sometimes maps not only show us where X is at, but it also shows us where we are currently. For example, you go to a mall and you will find a map that will show you where everything is at, including where you happen to be right at that moment. Right? If you want to find Cinnabon, and who doesn't want to find Cinnabon, look at a map. Find out where it is and chart your course. Well, our scripture this morning is that kind of map. It shows us where not only where we are, but where we need to be. As I've shared in previous weeks, right, the first three chapters of Ephesians tell us our position. Our position in Christ is our legal standing before God. Are we guilty or are we not guilty? Are we debtors or are we free? Are we God's enemies or are we God's friends? And understanding this makes a difference on how we live, day in and day out. And so Paul begins telling us the way that we were, right before we became followers of Christ. He says that we are dead in our transgressions. And this term dead is significant, right? Because according to the Bible, we are alive. We are either alive spiritually or we are dead spiritually. And it's very common today for people to try to take a middle position, right? Mankind, humankind, we're not dead, we're just sick. And so we blame our situations on bad parents, on a lousy education, or upon difficult traumas that made them the way that they are today. And according to the Bible, this kind of thinking is similar to a doctor who gives you a prescription to get rid of the pain but never actually addresses the disease. You might feel better, but the underlying condition is eating away at you, and you're not really any better. You know, the Bible teaches us that our very nature was altered by Adam and Eve's choice to rebel against God. It's like the DNA of everyone who followed them was altered. In fact, Paul describes it this way: you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and satisfying its desires and thoughts. And so Paul asserts three things right at the very beginning of our map. Right, that first, the sinful nature follow the ways of this world and the ruler of this world, which is Satan. In other words, our pre-Christian state is governed by our culture. It is governed by our friends. It's governed by popular opinion rather than God's word. Or we embrace certain verses out of the Bible that we want to believe, and those things that challenge us, we set aside and we choose not to believe what the Bible really says. And Paul goes on to say that this is the universal experience, right? He says, for all of us have done this. All of us have lived this way at one time. And it's tempting for us as we sit here to think, certainly that is true for those people, right? Paul does not give us that option. He says this is true of us, that until we became followers of Christ, every one of us would follow the ways of Satan. And then he goes on to say that the result is that we were gratifying the sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Right? We're driven by our hormones. We're driven by our appetites. You know, we even see it in consumer-oriented worship, where the focus is upon us and not upon God. You know, we tend to be people who want what they want when they want it. And heaven help the person, or heaven help the God who would stand in our way. And you add all of these together, and you understand why Paul then says this in 2:3. We were by nature deserving of wrath. And it's not a very happy or an attractive position, is it? Praise God, it doesn't have to end there. In our text this morning, it is one of the most beautiful, eloquent, powerful passages in all of the Bible. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are verses that describe what it means to be a follower of Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, Paul is saying that there are some essential truths that are true about the Christian faith. Right? This is where X marks the spot. This is where you need to be. This is where we want to be. And Paul says, first of all, that we are made right with God by grace alone. You know, the word grace is used in many different ways in our day. Now, sometimes it describes eloquence, as in a graceful dancer. Sometimes we talk about someone being gracious, and we mean that person is being kind and welcoming. However, when the Bible uses it, when the Bible uses the word grace, it refers to an act of undeserved mercy. And so in verse 9, Paul underscores this view. He says that we are saved by grace, not by work. You know, grace is not something that we earn. Grace is something that we receive. And the Bible affirms that we are saved by grace rather than by good works. And it affirms that the only way a person can be forgiven and brought into a relationship with God is God's grace. And then it even adds another dimension to this aspect of grace, that the faith we exercise to come to Christ, the faith that we have, is actually an act of grace. It's God's grace given to us. God plants in us and stirs up in us a faith that leads us to come to Him. Even the faith that we exercise is a gift of God. And why would God do things this way? And wouldn't it be easier if we could, you know, measure our connectedness to God, if we could measure our family position with God by what we put in the offering plate or how we serve? It would be a lot easier to keep track of, wouldn't it? God does this so that nobody can boast. Nobody can say, yeah, I saved myself, you know. God saved us by grace so that rather than measuring ourselves, rather than measuring each other, ranking each other, trying to climb over one another, we would be united by our dependence on Him alone for salvation. And this salvation, Paul says, begins the moment we believe. You know, the second great truth is found in these words, that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This passage, this verse 2:6, is not written in the future tense. It's actually written in the past tense. And the significance of this, I believe, it shows that salvation is not just something for way down the road, right when we get to heaven one day. It's something that impacts us right here and right now. That when we become a child of God, we immediately become a part of the family of God. And we may not be immediately what we will be, but we will never again be what we were. When a person comes to faith by God's Spirit, when we say, I do, to the question, do you put all of your hope, all of your trust in Jesus as your Savior and King? Several things change immediately. We change our destination, right? We change the X, where we are heading from hell to heaven. We move from bondage to sin to freedom from sin's power. We exchange our despair for hope. We move from being objects of wrath to becoming God's sons and daughters. We move from death to life. You know, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Because the old is gone and the new has come. So that moment that we put our faith, our trust in Christ, we become a part of the family and a part of the kingdom of God. We are new people and transformation can begin. And we don't have to wait until some future day to be saved, because the process has already begun. Right? We have a new standing. We have a new power. We have a new heart. We have new desires, new priorities, and appreciation for the wonder of life. And since salvation is of grace and not tied to our record, It means that any one of us can be saved. I mean, how many of you have talked to people who've said, I'm not good enough. I can't come to church. I've messed up too much. Sometimes people feel like they've made spectacular failures of their life, or they have this repeated sin or hidden life that they would never want to admit. And sometimes people will say something like, you know, I am simply not good enough. You don't know what I have done. God could never save me. And the answer is, you're right. But neither am I. I don't deserve it. Certainly haven't earned it. You know, if you've never responded to the message of salvation and a new life, let me ask you a very simple question this morning. Would you like to receive the gift of God's grace today? You know, have you been given the faith to take the hand of Jesus and say, you know, I trust you, Lord, for my salvation. And I receive you for forgiveness for my own sin. And I ask that you begin the process of remaking me in your Holy Spirit. Now, salvation is simply an acknowledgement that we cannot do it ourselves. That is, it is a gift of God's grace. And while none of us deserve it, God has chosen to love us. When you make that realization, when you make that statement, your life will be changed. Become a masterpiece of God's grace. You start down a path that will lead you in a different direction. And every step of faith and God's grace, you will experience more and more of what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. And I encourage you to take that journey today. I encourage you to see where X is. X marks the spot. Jesus Christ marks the spot. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for, again, your truth that you tell us over and over again as we read your word. That when we have Jesus, we have it all. That when we have Jesus, we have forgiveness, and we have hope. We have purpose. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that might not know that truth. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and would convince them just how loved they are. That Jesus, in your grace, they would bow their head and simply say, Jesus, come and save me. I am a sinner. I want to be better. I want to be like you. So that we might be in the kingdom of God together. Not because we deserve it or earn it, but because you love us. Jesus, we are so thankful for this. It's in your name, dear Savior, we pray. You know, it's easy to get lost, get turned around, and we entrust ourselves to find the destination. You want assurance? Look to Jesus. You want hope? Look to Jesus. He is the one that will guide you. He is the one that will love you. He is the one that will encourage you. You know, come to Jesus and find the treasure of being a part of the family of God.